Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 Joycast. In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this Joycast possible. For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/The Fool in the Opera.
Welcome to The Fool and the Opera, the show where we like to mix things up and make it everything a little bit crazy, in particular opera. Just give a bit of a stir in the pot and see what comes out, really. It's the opera show for beginners by beginners. I'm Dan Vo. I'm the fool part of The Fool and the Opera. And I was asked today, actually, how long the series has been the show's been going for. It's about three seasons now. And I think we've kind of stuck true to the whole premise of the show, which is to bring opera to new audiences, to young people in particular, and to serve it up with equal doses of bad accents, bad jokes, and great music. So it's what you get here on The Fool and the Opera, and I do hope that you'll stick around for an hour of, really, today it is Skin of Your Teeth Radio. I'm still secretly editing the piece of audio that I've got to play for you today. So, but I'm not supposed to tell you that sort of stuff. It's all supposed to be a secret. It's supposed to be a completely smooth radio show that just, just sounds perfect and wonderful, and you're just entertained endlessly from moment to moment. Now, on the show today, I always have a tagline, and one of the other things I need to finish off is the tagline itself. I've got prima donnas, schoolroom antics, and a third thing. I haven't decided what the third thing is. I'll decide it after this particular song, I think. Now, Prima Donnas refers to the fact that, of course, Rufus Wainwright's opera, Prima Donna, has actually just opened in somewhere in the UK, and I can't remember where. Oh, this is terrible. We're doing really well today, aren't we? I was driving around today. Actually, one of the things we talk about today is the fact that there's huge distances in Victoria, and questionable whether a suburb is a suburb or whether it's a country town. And I drove practically from country town to country town today, so I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I am at the moment. It's in the Joy Studios. It's on Bourke Street somewhere. Now, of course, on the show, we will be talking about the Rufus Wainwright Opera, which is very exciting. It's got Jonathan Summers, who was the first guest who was ever interviewed on this particular program, and I was so stoked to have had him on the program. And he did also hint at the fact that the opera was it's actually received a lot of great acclaim as well. So it's the good news is you can also check it out if you're in Melbourne, because it is coming to Melbourne. It's just been recently confirmed that Rufus Wainwright's opera Prima Donna will be coming to Melbourne as part of Melbourne Festival have not confirmed it yet, but it has been placed on several programs that were in the place where it opened at recently Manchester International Festival, I believe it is. It was in Manchester, UK. Thank God for that. It was in Manchester. We found out that it said that it was a co-production with Melbourne Festival. So it's kind of interesting. And so hopefully we'll be able to see it in the next year or two. It's received some interesting reviews and people are saying that, you know, even though, Rufus has been a big fan of opera, he's actually been able to pull together quite a good story and based loosely around the life of I will tell you that in a moment. I'm going to play you a song from Rufus Wainwright's album Release the Stars, and the track is Between My Legs. Now, one of the things that we do on this program is we go for really sketchy connections. This is a very sketchy connection. The song is written by Rufus Wainwright, and at the very end, in the last seconds of the song, you'll hear a tribute to the Phantom of the Opera. It is so... when you hear it, I'm no doubt you will probably laugh. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and it is, as promised, Skin of Your Teeth Radio. Now, that was Rufus Wainwright's track, Release the Star... Oh, no, sorry. It was Rufus Wainwright's track, Between My Legs, from the album Release the Stars. Did you hear the last couple of seconds of that? Did you hear the Phantom of the Opera? That was... It's quite an interesting little insert. And look, we know that Rufus is a big fan of opera. In fact, on a lot of reports that reported on his... in a lot of interviews, he's mentioned that the fact that opera, you know, sort of gave him a sense of being, especially when he found it when around about the age of 14, and it sort of made him feel as if he can sort of just connect with an element of the world. And it's great to hear that he's written an opera now. Prima Donna is the opera, and it just opened on Friday in Manchester as part of the Manchester Festival. And the word around the traps is that it will be coming to Melbourne as well. I'll keep you posted on the details. It is very exciting, and I can't wait to see it. I did see Rufus when he came out to Hamer Hall to perform the Judy Garland Carnegie Hall concert. I think it was from the 60s. He basically redid the entire concert almost verbatim, including the fact that she stopped a track and restarted the track. So it was very interesting to have seen him. I was sort of a Rufus Wainwright philistine before that, didn't really know a lot of his music, and it was only after that concert that I started to look into his music, and to see that he's got he's a pop writer who's got a very fond sort of being at sort of a fondness to opera is great to see, and to see that he's out now actually moved into the opera world to write opera about Maria Callas, I believe, is the person he's based life on. He watched a lot of reels from the BBC and that sort of thing of Maria Callas and her real life, and wrote that in. And great to see that Jonathan Summers, a local man from Melbourne, Montmorency, I don't think is quite country town Victoria just yet. It's a suburb. I did talk with a few artists this week. Their names are the Ten Tenors, and the interview is coming up very shortly. The thing about one of them is they live in Mernda, and I am adamant that it is a country town. I drove out to, not quite to Mernda today, I got to Diamond Creek to do a few things for the station, to drop off audio equipment, and my God, it was a long drive, and Mernda was further out than that. So I'm adamant that that's a country town. Apparently the boys used to fight a lot about whether or not it was a country town. If you just think it is or isn't, you can SMS 0427 Joy 949. There's the email on air at joy.org.au. I've also got Moonwalking Jerry on the front desk. 96992949 is the number to call. It's interactive radio. I'd be counting on your interaction today, because it is, as I've said for the third time today, is Skin of Your Teeth Radio. It serves to be interesting, no doubt. Now, I put the finishing touches on the interview with the Ted Tenors just then, so I can deliver it to you now. It's exciting to be able to, you know, it's the magic of radio. Things just happen. Now, it was great to catch up with all 10 of them, actually. It's the first time I've been done an interview with 10 guys all at once. Very interesting. It was a lot of fun, and they were a lot of fun as well. And it was catching up with them before their concert, which was on Wednesday at Hamer Hall. And they also did a bit of live singing as well. Surprisingly, AC/DC and a bit of Pink. So the third thing for the show today, I said it was Prima Donna's Classroom Antics and Electric Opera. So I'm going to play the interview highlights for you now. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. The next group that I've got on The Fool and the Opera is one that I've been warned about. They're known for their fun, frivolity, and occasionally for being flirtatious as well. But there's to be no fun here, so I'm going to run this interview like a classroom.
Good luck with that
interview. I'm going to call the roll, and I'd like you to get up close to the microphone and just explain what your nickname is and why you've got it. I think that would be a nice way to introduce yourselves. And
you're free to dob in a mate as well. So if they don't tell us the real story behind their nickname, just jump in and tell us the real story.
We'll be here all day.
All right, so first up, we've got Clark Benjamin.
Yes, that's me, and my nickname is B. Clark. It's very simple, but I'm also a big football fan, and it's got to do with the Brownlow Medal when they announced the points and the score. It's B. Clark. 3 votes.
Sir, that's false already.
Foot Graham.
Yes, my nickname is G-Train because trains are big and I'm not. And everybody jump on board.
It's another footy quote because Fraser Garrick used to play for...
was called the G-Train and he was also big, unlike me.
Who is short.
Yeah, and he had a mullet and I don't. Yeah.
You're almost a foot... shorter than him.
Oh, I see what you've done there. Yes.
You had a lot of baggage.
Kennedy, Luke.
Oh, Kennedy, Luke, we have him.
My nickname is Ken Lee for my appearance on Bulgarian Idol.
YouTube it. You'll love it. Get on it. Ken Lee. A dibby dibby dot do.
Morris Stewart.
Yes, my nickname is Sancho. Because Tom Cruise is not Sancho. Scott Baio, he is not Sancho. But I am Sancho.
And you would die like dogs.
Pitterman, Josh.
Most stats are all.
Yeah, moving right along.
Tooch, named after the famous Australian choreographer, Tony Bartuccio. I do the choreography for the group, and hence my name is Tooch.
Is there a short Jason?
Nah, cut off.
Oh.
Absent. Okay. Smith Dominic.
Oh, we do have him.
I'm here.
My name's Smith Dominic, and my nickname's the Panda. You can't tell on radio, but I'm big and cuddly, so so there you go.
Can you do kung fu?
No.
Just sleeps and eats a lot.
Sleep and eat a lot, it's good.
Soden Stephen.
Oh, there he is.
Soden.
Hello, my nickname is Biscuit, because on a recent tour of South Africa, we were informed that a biscuit in South Africa is slang for village idiot. So that's what I got. That's what I got.
Really?
Yeah, self-explanatory. That's what I copped.
Strike Todd.
That would be me, Todd Strike. I guess for want of a better word, I'm Old Man Strike. I'm
what?
Because when we hand out music in the Ten Tenors, everybody has their font, and I have extra, extra large, can't read anymore font.
It's true.
I still got right on stage. I'm all right. Nah.
We're going to start printing out scores in A2 for Toddy.
And he's the oldest guy in the group.
Yes. Zimmer Frame included.
Zimmer Frame?
Frame.
So now who are the two guys that I've missed?
So you've missed
who
Boyd.
We missed is Owen Boyd.
That's me. I am called The Baron, or in French, Le Baron. Or in Italian, Il Barone.
Spanish.
Los Barones. That's because of my love of fine things and fine dining and fine clothes. Yes.
And the fact that you rarely put your arms in your jacket.
He likes to fling it over. I know, Max Bialystock producers. And also we have Teal Jeff.
Hello. I've often been referred to as the tuck shop because I love to eat food and I love to compare American cafeterias to our local high schools.
It's actually because he's got tuck shop lady arms for dubbiters.
I don't think so.
All right, so this is going to get a bit tricky. So let's try. You know, the last time I had 10 guys in the... Well, actually, we can't talk about that, but...
Hello.
So we've got 3 guys who are close up to the microphone. So if you can introduce yourselves one more time.
Josh. Sorry.
Josh.
Graham.
Old Man Strike.
Old Man Strike. Now, the interesting thing about the current tour at the moment is there seems to be a bit of a rivalry between Queensland and Victoria. Is that true?
Ooh, yeah. We're just flying down from Cairns last night through Sydney. It was like lasted for 2 hours on that plane.
Just crazy. Attack. I think we've just safely agreed to not discuss it because Queensland has the weather and Melbourne /Victoria has everything else. Yep. Okay. How did that go down? Good. Yeah, cool. We're agreed.
You've got some death stares from some of the boys
behind
you.
5 are from Brisbane and 5 are from Melbourne, so naturally there's going to be a little bit of rivalry, but... You know, we love being here and can't wait to perform on Wednesday
Seeing
night.
This fine country of ours collectively for the first time since 2007.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience.
You've already done a few shows already. How's it been so far?
It's been awesome. Really, really well received in the Gold Coast and in Brizzy and then in Mackay and Cairns. So we've done four so far, and it's just awesome to get back after touring the States and South Africa and Europe and all these wonderful countries to do it in your home country and get all the kudos and all that from friends and family. It's just, it's awesome.
Odd Man Strike, can you compare it to the previous tour of Australia?
What? What did you say? You say, speak up. You know, it's actually been quite a, it has been quite a while since we've been here. This new show is a lot bigger and better than recent past times. I've been around for a long time, hence Odd Man Strike. And the current lineup is so energetic and youthful, and we're having lots more fun on stage these days. That's included in the repertoire that we've chosen for this show. It's everything from the opera classics to Bohemian Rhapsody and Simon and Garfunkel to a 80s medley and, you know, other various hits. I think this tour is going to blow Australia out of the water. There it is. I've said it, because I think this show is our best ever.
Now, with this, the recent album that you've released, has it been the Nostalgica album?
Yes.
There's clearly a bit of a conscious effort to put as many songs that kind of produce that old world feel.
Yeah, it sort of came about when we collated a lot of the songs that were requested by fans throughout the years. And when we did that, we started to notice a concurrent theme that kept popping up, and that was these sort of nostalgic sort of American songbook, early 20th century pieces of material, and so we sort of fleshed those out into other songs that have a sort of nostalgic flavor, things like Danny Boy, I guess, for the sort of Irish population or community, and songs like Besame Mucho and Granada for the Spanish speaking communities. And so it sort of started off, I guess, as this as a sort of Gershwin, Porter, Rodgers and Hammerstein-esque tribute album, and then sort of expanded into this concept of nostalgia, and then obviously into the show. You can't just do, I mean, for an album, you kind of have to focus on one thing, you know, you kind of have to box an album into one particular genre. But in the show, as Toddy said, we span everything. And the beautiful thing about the concept of nostalgia is it means everything from what I just said 2 seconds ago back. So, you know, we can do anything, really. And we just chose material that meant something to us, whether it be us as soloists or us as a collective. And I think that really comes across in the show, because we all get a conscious choice in the material that we present on stage. And so we have a kind of a sense of ownership in that I think a lot of artists, particularly in this genre of music, don't have. You know, they're primarily made by studios and to a certain extent sort of dictated to what they have to sing and the kind of material that they have to sing and the way that they have to do it. Whereas within reason, we can kind of do whatever we want, which was exemplified on stage last night in Cairns. There were a few things going on. Benny left his microphone in his old microphone stand at one point in time.
Yes, it was all happening. Yeah. It's also a tour that we are invested in for the very reason that it's pretty nostalgic of the group as well. Yeah. You know, we've included a lot of numbers that, looking back on it when we were setting this show up, we said, what did we love? What did we like? What did the fans like, rather? And went with a lot of numbers that we felt really close to. And we've included those along with some of the more current numbers, the operatic numbers. And, yeah, it's a look back to where we started, possibly, yeah, was it 12, 13 years ago? So, yeah, we're really proud of it.
Bum, bum, ba. 1, 2, 3, ba. Ba, ah, 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 ah. There was
here on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. It's one of those fun days where everything's just going crazy for me. Now, I've had a couple of SMSs come through, which has been great. Thank you very much to Jed, our audio producer, for sending in a message that says, sounds like you need a more dedicated audio producer. You know, Jed actually does the podcast for us. He's so good at it. He's he comes in every week to update the podcast and put it all together and then put it up on our C-Pod portal, the mystical C-Pod portal, which you can check out at joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera. And he's been doing that for about, it's about 30 episodes now that we've almost hit. And so he's done that every single week for the last 30 weeks. So thank you so much for doing that, Jed. The stuff that goes out on air, it's all me. It's all my fault. So we don't need a more dedicated audio producer, Jed, because you are incredibly dedicated. You just need a more organized presenter who's not going to drive around country towns in Victoria before the show. Now, of course, the interesting thing, and the reason why I was driving around different country towns is because we had a volunteer out country way, and well, sort of country way, and we were putting together a new microphone and recorder system, because this coming week I'm flying off to Brisbane to cover Dirty Apple, the Queensland Opera. It's a very special production that deals with things like schoolyard bullying and electric bullying, electronic bullying, sort of, you know, via the internet, that sort of thing, which is very interesting and sort of very relevant to sort of what's been happening in the news lately with all the sort of, the cyberbullying that's been happening. So it's very interesting that there's an opera being written that has been written about it. And the thing about it that I think is most fascinating is the fact that the libretto was written by a very young gentleman, early 20s. The composer was early 20s, and all the performers in it are between 16 and 18. So it's a youth production without doubt. And it is, I think it's going to be an excellent little broadcast. I'm going to go up there and record it and bring it back for us. Hopefully we'll have it ready for you next week. See how we go. Not only will I be driving around country towns, now I'm going to be flying around to different parts of the country, which will be very exciting to bring you opera from all over the country. That's a lovely little thing. Thank you very much, of course, to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for providing the grant that has made that possible. Now, I've had another message in from an anonymous person who said that this sounds like there's a lot of hot toddies in your studio tonight. Yes, it was incredibly exciting, I must admit, to be sitting opposite 10 very well-suited and very well-dressed gentlemen. And the power of them singing as well in the studio was phenomenal. It's quite an experience to be serenaded so close up by 10 incredibly attractive gentlemen. So we've had Jerry, who's actually messaged in to say that, yes, the singer is great. The group are fantastic. And you could have caught them on Wednesday at Hamer Hall, but they're also touring as well. They're going around different country towns, and they're also going around the country as well. I'll give you the dates a little bit very soon. But before I do, I'm going to play you the second part of the interview with them. It was very interesting to have them chat about what their thoughts on, I suppose, their music is and what it means to them as well. So we're going to play the second part of the interview highlights with the Ten Tenors. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. In terms of the group, we've got somebody who looks after the music, we've got somebody who looks after the choreography. Like, have you guys all got something that you contribute, that you believe that you contribute to the group?
I look after the chocolate and wine tasting.
and the brie.
What do you look after, Benny?
Oh, more your kind of... Squatty. I suppose security. I can teach you how to choke someone out, break an arm, twist a knee, anything you like, really.
So you're the one who does kung fu?
Well, mixed martial arts, I prefer to call it. I'd rather you not box me into one sort of martial art. I'm pretty well-rounded. I can fight on the feet and on the ground, so...
And scene.
That Benny packs the bags into the bus.
They give you tips at the end.
Well, what about like, you know, dobbing yourselves in for a moment? Like, what when you're on tour together? Like, who's the biggest snorer and all that sort of stuff?
Ooh.
Do you get asked this question a lot?
Snuffleupagus B. Clark, for sure.
Dobby's close.
Can I just say,
we've had people come down to the bus in the morning and get on the bus and go, wow, who was in room 307 last night? And you hear silence on the bus, and there's always someone. And one day, Benny owned up to being that person, and apparently... You could hear him through the wall. He was snoring that loudly.
I actually had to move my bed so that I had the bathroom and like my bed, then the bathroom, then the wall, just so I could get the snoring out. And then I also had to turn on the exhaust fan. So that just gives you an indication.
Admittedly, we were sleeping in a Lithuanian refugee camp at the time. So the walls were quite thin.
Now, who's most often to come late?
Ooh.
Johnny come
now, I know that Josh is the only one who turned up on time today, by the way. But
you know what? It differs. Like when it's just like out for dinner, like something like that, because we all like to head out for dinner because we all are friends socially. Toddy's always at least 15 minutes late, but Le Baron S, he is fashionably late. You know, he's been sitting there just eating brie and downing his wine, and so he's like 10 minutes late for soundcheck.
You do realise we're breaking up after this now.
That's it. You dob me in. I'm done.
Well, the next question I was just about to ask is last time when we had Josh in, we talked about who the lead man is in the group. Ooh. So you might end up breaking up over this one.
Who's the boss?
Yeah, who's the boss?
Tony Danza. Bruce Springsteen.
I said it was a very democratic thing. I recall saying that. Because I could have opted. I was the only guy in here. I could have said it was me. But I think it is quite a democratic society.
He lies. I'm in charge. No. It is.
He lies. I'm in charge.
Yeah, it is very, very democratic. But I said in an interview just before, it's a very Orwellian sense of democracy. All tenors are born equal, but some are just more equal than others. Like you said, you know, you highlighted it before. Everyone has their sort of areas, and I guess for example, in the musical choices, I guess the buck stops with me, and you know, we try and keep it as open as possible, but at the end of the day there has to be someone to make those decisions, in the same way that when, you know, we're running a choreographical rehearsal, I shut up and Josh takes over most of the time. Toddy, for example, looks after sort of the dramatic and directorial side of things, so we all contribute each in our own way, and Stewie, who's lurking over in the corner casting a weathered eye over proceedings at the moment, sort of looks after our media and all that sort of stuff. So we all bring, you know, our own expertise to the group, and so everyone contributes. There are no passengers in the Ten Tenors.
Yeah.
Except for the band.
Yeah,
they just schlep around and sleep all the time.
These drummers aren't real musicians,
rock up
out there.
Drunk and
all right. Well, we need to quickly wrap up, I think. And I suppose to finish up, one of the things that I've noticed is going through all your little bios, you've all got, well, for starters, it seems like most of you have either sung Jesus Christ Superstar or Kiss Me Kate. So if you all got together, you could probably put that on the production yourselves. But
like a combined production of the two shows?
That would work.
That wouldn't work.
No, it would.
What does the Ten Tenors mean to you? And in terms of where you are now with your singing and where you've been with your singing, like how is it to be in the Ten Tenors?
The boys now, we're at a place where we are really happy with the material that we're presenting. And it actually, for the fact that it actually highlights our personalities, we're a young... I have to say, good-looking bunch of lads that love to have fun and don't take themselves too seriously, you know. Well, we take our music very seriously. We sing a lot of different styles. A couple of the boys sing more pop rock. There's some more legit music theatre. There's quite classical voices in there too. So for me, coming back into this group after a while out, we're at a place where we're actually making the music and making the art, the show, that we really want to do. Having fun doing that, and, you know, it shows on stage. I think, you know, people are really embracing that.
Creatively we can be eclectic and we have the versatility to do so, I think it only makes for a better show for the audience, because really it just means that our bracket just expands, you know, tremendously. You know, anyone can enjoy the Ten Tenors and the show, because we just do a bit of everything, and I think quite confidently we do it all really, really well.
Yeah, that's very true. I guess for me the real strength and the thing that I enjoy most, getting all nostalgic for a second here, I really just enjoy the guys that I get to spend every day with. It was a real surprise for me joining the group almost 18 months ago now, just how close the bond is between the guys, and the best way that I can exemplify that is that we spend all of our days off together, you know, to the point where our partners kind of get a little bit concerned about what might be going on the road. But no, we go and play golf, and we go to movies, and we go to dinner together all the time, and that camaraderie and that sense of brotherhood and fellowship sort of really translates into the show, and is the key that I think makes this show different. If not to, say, for example, perhaps a musical, but certainly makes it different to any other show of an artist or group that might be performing in this genre, whether it be proper classical or pop opera, and I think that's what sets us apart.
Benjamin, coming from the country, for example, now to perform at Hamer Hall, one of the biggest venues
from the country.
Thank you country for Victoria. Solving a year-long debate. Mernda is in the country. You beauty. Mernda is in the country.
We don't even get Joy on in Mernda, so they're not even going to hear it. So what I'll say is, 18 months ago, I was working, I was installing synthetic grass. So it's a dream come true to be to touring the world with you know, 9 other guys. It's something I've always wanted to do and never really got the opportunity, and now I'm doing it. It's a real big break, I suppose you can say. So I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah, hear, hear, Benny.
Yeah.
Country boy.
I'll jump in. It's the Baron here. I don't think a lot of Australians actually realise how much work this group has put in over the years to be one of the hardest working Australian exports in the industry. A lot of productions, if they're based in a city, they might go for a year or something like that. But we've actually been going since the mid-90s. And we spend literally all our year, 10 months of it, touring across the world. We do, you know, 6, sometimes 8 shows in a row, and then jump on a plane, fly 72 hours and do it again. So we feel a real sense of ownership of what we do, and a real sense of camaraderie and real pride in the work that we're bringing, not only to Australia, but as ambassadors of Australia across the world. So, you know, Vegemite and G'days, we love to spread across the world.
Opera's version of the Wiggles.
Yeah, it's great. We, you know, the fact that we actually are doing what we love to do, and not laying turf, or you know, is a dream come true. Like the boys have said, we are just appreciative that our fans and the people that come and see us, it's a recognition enough for people to go, oh, actually, you know what, I actually like what you're doing. We like what we're doing, but it's actually nice to just go, cool, you guys get it too. That's kind of cool, you know, and to be doing that as a full-time job in, you know, this economic state is a feat in itself.
And so, and getting to prance around Table Mountain on our day off,
you know? Yes, that, and doing all those fabulous things, yeah.
is the other side of the job that is just so continually mind-blowing. And we're about to later in the year head off to South America for the first time and cover 6 or 7 countries there. So after that, we've just got Antarctica to go. So penguins, here we come.
Stuart, would you like to wrap up by telling us the dates and being the media man, of course?
For sure, yes. We'll be at the lovely Hamer Hall on Wednesday this week. That is the
8th.
Just checking my watch there, my tag hewer. Yeah. Date right in there. So yeah, definitely come on down. It'll be a wonderful experience for everyone. It's a brand new show, a lot of excitement and a lot of fun, and we look forward to blowing your mind.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Cheers.
A bum 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 bum.
Sure, I'll have another one that's early. We all shake it up, I like it dirty. Tequila for my friend that makes her flirty. Trust me, I'm the instigator of underwear, showing up here and there. Uh-oh.
Oh no.
I'm always on a mission from the get-go.
Get-go.
So what if it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon? It's never too soon to send out all the invitations to the last night of your life.
Lordy, 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 I can't help but I like to party. It's genetic, it's electrifying. Wipe me up and watch me go. As she stops, nobody knows a good excuse to be a bad influence on you. Ba-ba-da-bop.
Do you want to know the latest and what's happening on Joy 94.9?
Follow Joy on Twitter. Check out joy.org.au/Twitter for more details.
joy.org.au/Twitter.
Joy 94.9. It is The Fool and the Opera with Dan Vo here. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And yes, we do have a Joy Twitter, twitter.com/Joy949, but there's also a Fool and the Opera Twitter as well. You can check it out at twitter.com/FoolandTheOpera, which is slightly different to the way that we promo our blog and our podcast, which is joy.org.au/TheFoolandTheOpera. Twitter just doesn't let you have those extra three letters or the characters, unfortunately. It's trying to tell a story in 140 characters is actually quite difficult. It is one of the ways you can interact, of course, with the station via Twitter, and we do love getting interaction from all over the country, all over the town, all over the world. Vancouver Opera, for example, got in touch with us this week, and it was actually quite a thrill to have them say that they're listening to the show, following the blog, and they're loving what we do. They're actually quite a very progressive organization themselves as well. This week, they're they started a competition, actually, where you can interpret opera, the opera that they're about to release in their current season, with different visuals in terms of, you know, you can make a manga image for the opera, and you could also make a video for the opera, interpreting the story in a video, which is kind of exciting that there are companies that are engaging in the Web 2.0 world as well. And of course, we are engaging in the Web 2.0 world as well. And if you are one of those people that like to get in touch, please do. joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera is where you can go for all sorts of updates. Like this week, we actually broke architectural news, which is a strange thing for us to be doing on an opera show, but we managed to do it. At exactly 9 o'clock, we let everyone know that the Melbourne Recital on Friday, we let everyone know that the Melbourne Recital Centre actually took the four top Victorian Architecture Awards as part of this year's Victorian Architecture Awards. So the Melbourne Recital Centre has actually picked up the Ashton Raggett McDougall, the ARM, the company that was behind the design, which also did the Melbourne Theatre Company, the MTC, right next door. Two buildings on the one side. They've got a slightly Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of a look to them, but they were designed at the same time and built at the same time, just had two different client groups pick what it should look like. And it's actually won a suite of awards, which includes, just trying to think off the top of my head now, look, it includes interior design as one of the ones that they picked it up for, and they also got a Victorian Architecture Medal for sort of crossing design boundaries. There's the William Wardle Award for Public Architecture, the Marion Marnie Award for Interior Architecture, as I said before, and also the Joseph Reed Award for Urban Design. So it's great to see that this building, which I think is a beautiful building, is getting so much attention. And of course, if you haven't had a chance to see it, please do go down and have a look at the building. If you haven't had a chance to hear the acoustics, you can actually check out the Fool and the Opera podcast. We did an audio tour around about episode 10. So you can check out episode 10 or listen to the specific special that was put together by, of course, myself and our audio producer, Jed. I need to mention one more time because he is a very dedicated and very hardworking audio producer, and he's much appreciated here in the Fool and the Opera, I'm going to say office, maybe not office, more space or whatever. The ethereal thing that is on air, The Fool and the Opera. We really appreciate what Jet does, so please do check it out. It's a great little piece of audio. Now, speaking of great little pieces of audio, I don't want to go away too far from this whole Ten Tenors thing, because I'm enjoying the stuff too much. I've been listening to their albums this whole week, and it's really exciting to sort of see the fun and frivolity brought into, and irreverenceness almost brought into opera, and it's what they do really well. And one of the things that I've been meaning to play is their interpretation of a Bee Gees medley. So I'm going to play this for you and enjoy. You're on the Fool and you're on the Fool and the Opera, where I can't speak, on Joy 94.9. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman sin. No time to talk. Music loud and women walk. I've been kicked around since I was born. And it's all right, it's okay. Live to see another day. Try to understand New York Times effect on me. Whether you're a mother or man, you're a mother, you're singing alive, feel the city breaking in there. Everybody's shaking, singing alive, singing alive. Hour on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. Yes. Yeah, we of course just played the Bee Gees medley from the Ten Tenors, their album Tenology, the best so far. And of course it had a bit of a mashup of Staying Alive, You Should Be Dancing, How Deep Is Your Love, and Saturday Night Fever. It's very interesting. Who would have thought that on an opera program you'd be having John Travolta? Now, Jerry has texted in with a message. He said that these are the greatest lyrics of all time. You can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Thanks for that, Jerry. It just doesn't do it justice when I don't do the falsetto, but I'm not going to even try. Now, I'm going to ease you out with some beautiful music. It's from the album done by Café Del Mar. It's Aria and Metamorphosis, and it's created by an excellent sound producer. His name's Paul Schwartz, and he's put together a lot of different opera music to sort of chill out electric music, and it's beautiful sort of stuff. And I've been listening to it a lot this week because it's been a really busy week and I just need to chill out, and I think that it's something worth sharing with you, and certainly going to get you in the mood for an excellent night of jazz coming up as well with Eric Williams. So do stick around. And I'm going to play you track number 4 from his first album. It's Metamorphosis. It's just it's about change and discovery and that sort of thing. So you're on The Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9, and some very beautiful music to take you out there. And that was Metamorphosis from Metamorphosis 2, the Danae. And that's based on Verdi's Ballo in Maschera, or Un Bello Maschera, which is a beautiful little opera that was in town about last year. So there's going to be, of course, a few other Verdis coming up. No doubt Aida will be one of the most hotly awaited operas that will be coming into town very soon as well. I'll keep you posted on things all things operatic, of course. And you can check out the blog to keep in touch with all things operatic, joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. And now to sign off, as Verdi would say, of course, catch you next week. Same Fledermaus time, same Fledermaus channel.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert. Thanks to the support of Joy sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.